Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to the podcast. We are back with another Q&A. As you already know, Thursdays have been just a steady Q&A session, you know, and I love doing the challenges, right? So this is a replay from one of the challenge calls that we did, and it's a lot of fun. I really like doing those, and I'll give you a little bit of a, you know, heads up. In September, we will be doing another September challenge, which is always our, I mean, by far, it's the most popular challenge that we do. And you're going to like want to join us, I think. I think it's going to be a great one once again. And the really cool thing is that we are currently developing our own app so we could get to move away from Facebook. Finally, we get to actually have our own space. It's going to be super cool. I can't wait to share this with you, but you'll probably find out about that soon. Anyway, let's dive into Q&A. Today's another training-focused Q&A. Next week, we're back with mindset. And then the next week after that is going to be the second half of that mindset call. So I'll talk to you soon. Activity question from Taya. She says, warm up before lifting weights. Many people say that you should always warm up on, for instance, the treadmill or rowing 10 to 15 minutes before starting lifting. Is it really necessary? I always warm up with lighter weights and or static dynamic warm up of the muscles. So I don't feel any difference, in quotes, if I do a good warm up on the treadmill first. Is there any hidden benefits of the treadmill rowing warm-up? I'll let you take that one. I feel like this is your expertise, you know?
Yeah. This I also spend a lot of time talking to patients about, actually. Yes, warm-up is necessary, absolutely. But you don't necessarily need to be sweaty and super warm in your body to be warmed up. Doing dynamic stretching is great. Also, just use some time, ease into the sets with slowly going up with the weights is also a brilliant way of warming up. The one thing that your spine especially and your body in general just really doesn't handle is going from maybe an office work or just like one sort of movement during the day, and a lot of us are sitting at work or standing at work or studying, those sort of type of things. And if you go from kind of inactivity to sudden activity, just popping up the weights straight ahead, that's when you get injured. That's what your spine and your discs especially doesn't handle well. So in terms of warm up, to just kind of summarize that up, just spend some time to get your body moving. It doesn't have to be the rowing, it doesn't have to be the treadmill, but it has to be some sort of movement that is not heavy load for your body and that gets the blood flow going. It fires up your nervous system so that your muscles, bones, and ligaments are ready for the load that you're going to have in your session.
Love that. Yeah, I have a history of not taking a warm-up serious and also, you know, experiencing the consequences. So I learned that lesson, you know. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I don't think we have to do like a treadmill thing, but like get ready, like get your body like in a flow first, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Love that. Great answer. And Stephanie says, when running longer distances, so 10 plus miles, and or longer periods of time, so like 2+ hours, should I add calories or shift macros? I typically do not carb load the days before a long run and concentrate more on hydration, electrolytes. Just for context, so Stephanie actually has a marathon coming up. I have this scheduled in my calendar. I'm going to actually send you a bonus video tomorrow because we would prefer actually loading up for that. From the top of my head, I forgot the actual number, but there is a formula for this. I think I'm going to say this too. I think for most people, it's probably best to just focus on what you're getting in on a daily basis. Like that's like just zooming out all the way. That's the number one thing. Like, are we eating at maintenance? Are you getting enough carbs in? That's the number one priority. I know you do as well, because with Stephanie, like we've been feeding her up and up and up, and she just kept losing weight and body fat. So, and she's been building muscle too, which is really cool. No, but like, yes. So electrolytes, hydration, super, super key. But your carbohydrate, like that's your fuel. And that should absolutely be replenished also during, as well as before, those are kind of like longer bouts, because 2+ hours, like that's a long time. If you want to get the best performance, right? Experience or not, because I know she's been doing this for a long time, but if you want to get that best performance, if you want to really get the most out of it, because your body at some point, you're just going to run on like cortisol, right? When you run out of carbs. So it's very important. And that's why there are like the things like Gatorade and those gels and all that, like specifically created for that. So it's very important. And the good news is that you're, of course, our client. So I'm going to get back to you about this tomorrow, because I know you have your race on Saturday. But yes, long story short, get your carbs. You want to go big on them, and they are absolutely a priority above anything else. Next question from Signe. I mainly do strength training, but I also want to get some cardio done. How should I plan my workouts? Per now, I have two full body workouts, lower body focus, and then one upper body workout per week. My favorite cardios are running, intervals, and spinning. How would you plan this, Alexandra?
It depends what your goal is, because if you just want to get in some cardio workouts, then it's plenty enough to just have 1 or 2 days. And I would also, if you're kind of hitting those, then if you have one workout where you go hard or go home, then that's enough to get a brilliant effect. And add some walks and maybe a cycle. Back and forth for like for work now and then. I think if you're gonna have a running workout, I would do that the day before your strength training, because you recover more easily from that compared to strength training. But again, that's more likely to be advanced if you're thinking that way. Many of us can also just handle a running session after a strength workout the day after. So it really depends, but if you're going to do it smart, maybe do cardio workout and then full body rest day, full body rest day, and then do another strength session or add in a cardio session if you'd like. That's at least how I would do it.
Yeah. I think it's also tricky sometimes to answer these questions, because unless people are clients, like we don't have the full picture, you know? It's like we don't know your schedule. We don't know, I don't know, your nutrition, you know, like we don't know where you're currently at. So really good question though. So if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to just message us, and that will help you out. So Christina says, when doing daily activity, is intensity a factor? I'm going to keep that one pretty short. We want to do activity for a few reasons, because activity could mean anything. So I'm going to speak to non-exercise activity first. Getting our steps in, super key for overall health and lowering risk of all-cause mortality. Lifting weights, again, it's building muscle, holding onto muscle, which is super key for metabolism, hormones, and much more. And of course, you know, bone strength, etc. Bone density, I should say. When it comes to cardio, there are different energy systems, right? So whether you be doing something like a low intensity cardio, which is what I'm currently doing, something like high intensity interval training, right? We're training different energy systems there. There's a time and place for all of them. I really like a seasonal approach too, to where, hey, like we kind of try to train everything a little bit every now and then, kind of depending on our goals and what you want to prioritize for the time being. But the question is a little bit too vague in general to kind of give you a specific answer, because I know where you're coming from. But we need to understand, okay, what's big picture? What's the main goal? High intensity more and more is not always better. There is a very important like time and place for lower intensity stuff. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. I think there's a time and place for everything, but we just need to make sure, okay, what's the main goal? And where are you at in terms of like your current lifestyle? Next question. So let me see. We have a few more. We have a lot of photos around here. So Steven says, how does sleep or lack of sleep affect strength training slash workout results? For example, if I have to train early in the morning, some days to get all my workouts in, but I've only had a few hours of sleep. Will this have a bad effect on my workout results, or should I rather prioritize sleep? What do you think? Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise I'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now, let's get back to the episode.
And this one as well, I talk a lot with my patients, because sleep is a major factor in terms of how you work in general, how your hormones work, how your nervous system work. And your nervous system is really important to be on point if you're going to get benefits from your training. But again, we're more adaptable than people think. So having one day, or maybe 2 days in a row, but not a lot of sleep. Or like maybe 2, 3 hours less than what you usually do. It's okay. You're not likely to be as affected with that. But if you're going beyond 2 days, that we're going seeing lack of sleep 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row or in every week, that's going to affect both your nervous system and your hormones, and just going to cause a lot of stress. And you're going to also notice that you're not going to be as switched on. Because like I said, your nervous system is what controls both your muscle strength and just your processes in general in your body. And if that's not recovered, and the main recovery zone for that is sleep, you're not going to do as well. So then I'd rather prioritize sleep and skip that workout for that day just to get some hours of sleep. Because then it's in the recovery phase, you're also getting stronger and you're also getting the effects from your previous exercises. But if you push that window in terms of not getting enough sleep day by day, you're not going to get the effects that you want, and you're also more prone to injury. So one day with maybe a little bit less sleep, max two, completely fine, shouldn't affect too much, but make sure to get rest after that.
Absolutely. And I mean, this even plays into this is completely different, but it even plays into willpower, self-control, decision making. As you get more fatigued and there's more and more stress, like it plays into those things too. And we often hear, willpower, self-control, and giving in. This also plays into that. So sleep is super, super important. Let's see. Celia says, question for the week. I have been stuck with cardio and walks for the last months. I find it difficult to get motivated to do heavy lifting again. Can you recommend a few easy things I should do at the gym, maybe a couple of days per week, to get started with some strength, with some strength training again? Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'm going to keep this one super easy. There is a so if you go into this Facebook group's guides section, there is a free resource mini library with a free workout program. Check that one out. It's basic. It's like upper lower split 4 times a week. That's actually maybe a good one to check out. And maybe you just want to kind of like make like a basic version of that. But the most important thing, because you mentioned being not so motivated, the only thing that will get you back into it again is actually just doing it. And it's being like, hey, I'm gonna go, right? So you just mentioned this, hey, I want to get into it again. Do you have a few recommendations? Okay, go into the group, check out the guides section, check out that workout program. If you like it, great, try it out. If not, just let me know. I can send you something else, right? Because we have a few. But that's about doing, right? And I'm happy to send you some stuff because you are one of my very first clients back in 2020. So just let me know. And Iselin says, finally some heavier weights. Also one of my very first clients from 2020. And they always, like the two of them, always show off for the challenges, which is super cool. For the first time in my life, I have to use weightlifting straps. So that's super cool. Is it important to stretch after lifting weights? I never do it. I think it's boring and it takes extra time. Yes, I agree. I'm going to give Alexandra this question because she's going to probably say yes. And I'm going to probably feel guilty for not doing it enough. So is it important to stretch after lifting?
It's actually not really that important, to be
Okay.
honest. So you're all good.
I'm safe. Okay, cool.
So what initially we're actually doing with stretching as well is that we're taking our fibers, all muscle fibers, completely to the edge, and then we're allowing them to stay there and kind of be comfortable with the stretch, so we kind of get more flexible. But the main issue with that is also stretching before workouts and after workouts, like then I'm talking about long stretches, is that if we do it before workouts, we're gonna not switch on the super fast twitches to our movements during our strength sessions, and it's not gonna be optimal. And again, after a workout, our muscle fibers are quite tired. Some of them are already like micro torn, actually, because a lot of we do cause micro trauma in muscles when we do heavy weights. And if you consider having small micro traumas in your muscles already, and then gonna push the edge of stretching them, they're not necessarily gonna do great. So I would actually not recommend to do like long, long, long stretching sessions. So like stretching after a workout. But going back to what Johan said earlier, the winding down after a session is really important. So doing some sort of movement that, yes, stretch the muscles and like get some movement into just kind of why wind down and kind of stretch it out a bit, but don't push it. What I would recommend in terms of stretching and movement is actually just to use that as a movement snack every day. And also in terms of flexibility in general, actually working within ranges of mobility and not just stretching helps your muscles and your joints become more flexible. So the normal sort of thing that we consider being like stretching as a good thing, there's a lot of ways that we can affect our muscle system, both our joints and muscles in terms of being more mobile and flexible. That's not related to just stretching.
Awesome. I actually didn't know that. Learn something new. Learn something every day, you know? No, that's cool.
Great.
It's good. Good to know. And I don't feel guilty for not doing it. So Morgan says, we talk a lot about macros, but what about micros? That is, what are they and how can we track those too? So the nice thing in chronometer is that we do have a full breakdown. So you can go into chronometer nutrition report. You see all the nutrients, all the micros, even like amino acids and stuff. As well as fiber and saturated fats, sorry, versus unsaturated, like all super important. So the main thing is going to be controlling your calories, which come from your macros. But the whole reason we use chronometer is that we then also can look into your food log and then see what are you eating. I will say this, if we include our fruits and vegetables. We mostly eat whole foods. We sw switch it up, right? We have enough variety. We're probably going to be fine, especially if you change it up. But still, it can be worth like looking into, and we will do that sometimes, especially if you have blood work, then you can double check. But the macros is kind of like the big picture stuff that we need to really take care of. The micronutrients are going to be your vitamins, your minerals. There's also phytonutrients, micronutrients, zoonutrients, just a bunch of them. And those are all very important, and some of them have very specific benefits too. But here's the thing. That is why we do chronometer. That is why we look into the food log, because yes, we're mainly tracking macros, but let me now actually see what you eat, right? And then we can break it down. And like I said, chronometer is really good for that, so that you can check everything. Catherine says, activity question, are there any guidelines you use when writing your own weight training session? I mean, yes, but it's going to be a big, it depends question in terms of like what you want to achieve, goals, those kind of things. So we can definitely help you with that. Just message one of us a little bit more specific to what your goals are, because generally speaking, I mean, it's hard to say. You're going to want to look into how many sets per muscle group you want to do per week. Again, training for strength. Is it for muscle gain? Is it for something else, right? So a little bit of a difficult one to just generally answer on this call. Let me see real quick. I'm just reading through the other ones too. Amy says, question for week two, is it okay to add cardio on the same day as you do your CrossFit? I wouldn't, to be honest with you. Kind of same kind of question that Alexandra also answered. It's like there's not necessarily like an additional benefit. We tend to think, oh, I'm going to burn more calories. It's going to add, to my fat loss goals or whatever it is. But it's just going to make us more exhausted. You're probably going to have a better run or CrossFit workout when you do that on like any other day of the week. Makes sense? Because we do need that rest, and we do need at least two full rest days per week, especially if we have a normal life, which I know you do. So, if you have, a job, or people go to school, or you have kids, or whatever it is, like, take the rest days. Like, we absolutely need them, especially if you already do CrossFit. Ilva says, question training, or sorry, training question. How would you set up your training on holidays when you have minimal equipment available? Is it fine in terms of long-term results to train minimally for 10 days as long as you are daily active? Or will this set you back a lot in terms of strength training? Would, for example, 50 to 100 push-ups a day be useful, or other body weight exercises? What do you think, Alexander?
So there's actually done a lot of research on this in terms of muscle memory and like how much muscle you lose. And as long as you stay active, you do some sort of activity and don't lay in bed all day, then your muscles should be fine for up to 2 to 3 weeks without really doing like focused weight training or strength training. What I like to recommend, just keep the movements light. Do a little bit less than what you normally do, and if it fits your schedule, do a session. But if you have holiday and you know that there's going to be busy times, don't necessarily force it. Like I said, be happy about doing one or two workouts if you normally do six a week or normally do five a week. And it's enough to do just 30 minutes as well. As long as you do some sort of activity, and again, don't stay in bed all day or sitting on couch, your muscles should be fine when you're going back.
I would even advise against the 50 to 100 push-ups a day. Like, for most people, it's way too much. Give yourself that rest. You'll feel good once you come back. I remember specifically taking 2 months off of CrossFit, and then coming back. The second workout was like a test where we did like a max deadlift, bench, squat, and power clean. I PR'd everything. And that's after, oh, sorry, that was 2 weeks of not training, not 2 months. But it was after 2 weeks of like not training, and it just smashed all those PRs. Why? Well, I was actually recovered, I actually, fully just recovered for once.
I think that just emphasizes again that it's when we're resting, we're actually building that muscle and allowing ourselves to become better.
Not at the gym. You actually get, like, during a workout, you actually get worse, and then you only get better once you recover. No, but Ilva, like, also, of course, you just started with Alexander. Like, give yourself, because it's only 10 days, like, be active, enjoy the trip. Don't overthink it. It's actually good to have that rest. And I know you do CrossFit, so you're probably fine, let me see. I think that is almost all questions. It might be not, that was actually the last one. Awesome. So exactly 1 hour. That's 15 minutes shorter than last week. That's great. So I think most people actually stuck to their one question. per person. That was actually good. So thank you guys for that. If you are still watching, I see a few people are still watching. Comment on this video or just like this post, just so we know like who's kind of paying attention. As well as like, hey, by the way, if you are watching a replay, like do the same thing. Like just like this video, just so we know who's watching. I will make sure to kind of send out an email as well towards the end of the challenge with the whole kind of breakdown of all the replays. And you know what? I'll just put it up on the podcast as well, but that's not going to be until maybe April, May, just so you guys know. So I want to thank you all very much, Alexandra, as well. Thanks for joining me. It was a great little mini training. Remember that your training is super key also for mental health. Yeah, I think we're looking into a very solid second week of the challenge. So keep working. Like I said, don't expect things to be perfect because they are not going to be. That is okay. We'll be back on Monday with a little bit of an update to the leaderboard. So keep doing your mini check-ins every single day. Keep posting, and then we'll be back very soon, guys. Thank you. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.